Well, good morning. There are a couple of people coming in, but I have to handle a couple of administrative things this morning very briefly, but I want to do that first, so that'll give time for others to come in. So administratively, I want to go over a couple of things. First of all, I want to thank the sound room and all the people. As you notice, I'm mic'd up today. I will be taping the class. A few people have asked. There are a number of people that asked me to do that. And since we're in here, that can be done. So we're going to try to do that for the remainder of the classes. So we'll be taping this. So if you miss something, it's possible to borrow a tape from them. So I thank them for that. Secondly, on the attendance sheet, I'm going to send it around. And by the way, Pastor Chris, don't leave for my third announcement. But the second one is on the attendance sheet. You don't have to put your name on here three times. Okay, so if your name's here, no, I don't mean that sarcastically, but because to be fair to you, on the bottom it says over, but that's in case your name's not listed. Okay, so if your name's listed here, the columns for all the classes are there. All you need to do is check it off, and that helps the office. And it is a big help regarding the number of copies that I make, because we made 5 extra copies because people weren't here last week, and I've already given them out. So that's very important. So when this goes around, and we won't start it yet, we'll give a couple of minutes for people to get in. I understand it takes time to get out of bed and everything, but just check. In fact, I'll try to do it myself, so you'll see. I think my name's on here. I don't see it. Anyway, I'm here, so just check off your name when it goes around. The third one is, and thank you for staying for a second, Pastor Chris, is I've looked over the schedule, and I'm going to make a suggestion to you, and it depends upon the class's response. Right now, we are scheduled to go and end this semester on July 2nd, Sunday, July 2nd. That's a very difficult weekend, number one. And number two, I will not be here. So I'm going to propose, and I hadn't spoken to the elders. I don't anticipate a problem from the elders. So I'm glad Pastor Chris is here so you can shoot me with arrows and guns and whatever. But what I'm going to propose for us as a class is to finish June 25th, the week before. But in order to get in all the notes, I'm really going to be radical. I'd like to have a class Saturday the 24th for 1 hour from 9 o'clock so you can sleep in, but I don't want to take it too long so you can't do all your chores on the weekend. Maybe from 9 to 10, we can have some coffee, donuts, fruit, whatever you want to bring, and just have a little time of fellowship so I can get in all the classes. Then on the 25th, we'll finish the class. That way, I'm here to teach it all, number one. Not that I don't, and I was very thankful, as you know, with Camille, but I know my own notes, and I can teach it, and we can finish it and get all the material in. Is the class interested in finishing the 25th and trying to do it on the 24th? If you can't be here, I don't know that I can get it recorded that Saturday, but whatever. How many would prefer to do that rather than going to July 2nd? Just give me a show of hands by almost most people. Yeah, okay, it's most people. So is that okay? Okay, all right, okay. So that's what we'll do. And I will try to get that announcement in the bulletin if I remember. But what we will do then is when we get to your notes, if you look at your outline that I gave you, the 25th we will do on the 24th, and July 2nd will go to the 25th. So we'll be done the 25th, and then for the weekend of the 4th, go have a party. But make sure you come to services, you know, for the morning service. Okay, very good. Thank you for that. All right, let's see. Camille, would you go down one side? And yeah, would you? Thank you. Those are the notes for today. Give one to Bob. And then we'll get started on today. While they're passing that out, would you turn in your Bibles to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. You shouldn't run short today because they know we have a number of people that aren't here, but see what happens. Thank you for distributing those notes. I appreciate it. Let's have a word of prayer as we begin today. Our Heavenly Father, it is with joy that we come before you, and it is with the only reason being that the Lord Jesus Christ has made it possible for us to come before the throne of grace, that we might find mercy and grace to help in time of need. And we thank you for that, and we do pray that if there's any traveling here this morning, that you give them safety. Anyone that may be dealing with physical issues this morning, that you'd comfort, strengthen them, and help them through those difficulties. We thank you for affording us this room and this church that we can come and open the Word of God freely to study. I thank you for each and every one that's attended here this morning. And Father, we know that we all have a hunger from the Word of God. And I pray as we study it together, it would be fruitful in our lives so that we not only would bear fruit for your honor and glory, but Father, that would the race that we are in, we would be able to indeed finish strong until you call us home. We pray now, Father, and ask your guidance on our class time and pray that you would be glorified, we would be challenged, and we would be even matured more in our walk with you as we learn the Word of God together. We thank you for this time. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. All right. If you've opened to James chapter 4, I want to read verses 13 to 15. In verse 13, it says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there, and engage in business and make profits. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that." This passage of Scripture, which is very familiar to us, is a build off of last week into this week's class, as we're talking about running our race and finishing the race strong. Last week, we noted that we are starting from lesson 5, which was last week, all the way through lesson 12, dealing with the how. All right, we now are in the race. We've now got the goal. Now, how do we run this race? And we're dealing with the working out of, if you will, our salvation and the working out of our running of the race. And last week we noted the first part that we must, and that is absolute, we must depend upon God working in our lives. And this is a reminder of that. Because we ought to say, if the Lord wills, because if the Lord doesn't will, you won't even be here tomorrow, neither will I. We might not even make the morning service. It's possible. Over my years of ministry, we've had people collapse right in this service while I was preaching. It's happened. And so we don't know. And so we need to depend upon God working in our lives. And we noticed last week, I'll just refer to them. Maybe I'll turn to one of them. But we notice that God will do his part. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, what he has begun, he will finish. That's encouraging and should be to you and should be to me. As we run this race, the Holy Spirit is indwelling us, and what God has begun, He is going to finish, as we saw last night in a Bible study, all the way to glorification when we're in His presence. So we ought to be comforted by that. When you get into difficulties and trials and situations, don't lose sight of the fact that God is in you, working out for your maturity and for His honor and glory the things that He wants to do. He's going to do His work, and I must depend upon that. We'll see a little bit more on that this morning. In Philippians 2:13, which I will read, you don't have to turn to that one. You can stay in James for a minute. But in Philippians 2 and 13, it says this, and we saw that last week, "For it is God who works, who is at work in you." God is working in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. God's in us, and He's the one who develops the will for us to want to honor Him. But He's also going to help us to do the work. He is going to help us to accomplish the things that He wants to accomplish in our life. That's encouraging. If we were running this race totally in our own power, we would fail. We would fall. We would run out of breath. We would quit. We would say, "I've had enough." And I'm telling you, standing before you as a pastor, I've had that in my life. That I've had times that said, "Lord," and my wife knows that's true, "I can't take this anymore. I just can't do this." And so we get there, but relying on God's strength, we realize, "Yes, I can. Okay, forgive me, Lord. Now help me to do it. Help me to do it." Okay, so God's at work. Now today, we come to the next part of it. And this is always, if you look in Scripture, how it works. Even the most deep, and honestly, they are deep and difficult, theological things in Scripture come back to this. God's sovereignty and man's responsibility. They work together. You don't earn salvation. God sovereignly is at work. He's made the plan. He sent the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that calls us. He's the one that draws us. However, we must believe. They go together. And we leave that with God, how He miraculously brings that together. It is the same in running our race. God is sovereign. He's in us. He's working things out. He is going to perfect us. And we're all different. Remember that. We're running our own race. We're all going to finish differently in the sense of rewards and everything because God is the one leading us. We all have different gifts and everything. But God is going to work with us, and we have a responsibility. He will do what He's going to do. He's sovereign, but He works through us. So that brings us right to our notes. God's light to the world. And I chose that heading because we are the light to the world right now as believers. Israel, according to, for example, Isaiah 43, Israel was God's witness to the world. That's why He chose them. God saw all the wickedness of man, and He, by His sovereign grace, selected Israel to be His people, to be a witness that He was the one true God. Not only the one true God, but how they were to live, and that's where the Ten Commandments and all the laws and everything came in. They were to live differently, but they were to do that. Now it's us. So as we've seen, God's sovereign, and without His power, leading, and strength, we're helpless. Yet, this truth does not mean, this is important, that we just sit back and expect God to do everything for us. And oftentimes, as Christians, that's our thinking. Well, God's sovereign. He's going to do what He's going to do, so I'll just sit back. And we forget that He's not serving us, just like in prayer. God's not there just to jump at our prayer requests all the time, you know, because I want this, I want that, I want this, and we could get off on a tangent on that. No, we're His servants, and we're here to serve Him and to serve one another. And while we're in this world, we should not expect to do nothing and think God is going to find us a spouse, a job, a car. I'll just sit back, God's sovereign. I'll get a car tomorrow because I need one. Did you go looking? Have you looked at any advertisements? Have you prayed about it? Have you examined your finances? Okay, well, I need a job. Well, have you gone looking? Have you examined your parameters? Maybe you have the wrong parameters. There's people that never find a job because they've restricted the parameters so such that God can't even work in them. So we need to do our part as well. We can't just expect. For example, I had to study, believe it or not, I did. I had to study to get prepared for that. I couldn't just say, hey, praise the Lord. You know, the elders have approved that I can teach. So you know what? I'll wing it. I don't think that would have helped you or will help you. I'm hoping I'm helping you now. But it takes study, and my wife knows that I took the time, and because I wasn't in the office. She now sees it at home. Had the books out, studying to get prepared for this. And it was on my heart. I had to do the work. We have to do these things. So God has left us here to be a witness for him and a shining light to the world. I know you know this, but let's take a quick look. Acts chapter 1, someone turned there, and somebody turned to Philippians 2:15. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. All right, you got it. Okay, let's stop right there. Those are the apostles that he's talking to, but that's the lead-in for us, right? And what is he going to do? He's about to leave them. When they have the Holy Spirit, they'll have the power. However, they ought to be the witnesses. Their lives are going to be the witnesses. And that includes you and I. And by the way, I know we go back to the Gospels, but I'm going to play the role of a pastor right now. Technically, in the Gospels, when he's talking about letting your light so shine, that is Israel that he's talking about. But this passage in Philippians says we are the light of the world. Who's got it? Chapter 2, Kevin. Okay, there it is. We are the light of the world. So it's true. But that's even in its context. Believers, we are a light to the world in the middle of a crooked and perverse nation, world, age all around us. Yes, it's true. Every day we get up, nobody reads a newspaper anymore. But a newspaper, nobody even watches television anymore. The internet, I got to get something right. One of those things, whatever you look at, the news is always bad. And it's not encouraging. It's certainly not encouraging from a Christian point of view, the things that are being approved in our own nation. But God has us here as a shining light. Why are you at work where you are? To be a light to those people. Why are you in the school that you're in? Why are you in the neighborhood that you're in? Why are the family members that are around you that are unsaved there? Why are you there? Because you're a light to them about who God is. See, that's our part. We have a part in this. The scriptures are filled with rebukes towards slothfulness and laziness. I just want to touch this, especially in the book of Proverbs, and I'm not going to turn there. But if you read the book of Proverbs, it is over and over again. Don't say you know God and then become a lazy person that doesn't do anything and expect God to just do everything. Now, God can. Absolutely. God could bring somebody in this room for someone that's looking for a job and by his sovereign grace, walk that person over and say, who are you? Da-da-da. Oh, by the way, I have a job opening. Oh, really? That's what I'm looking for. That can happen. But the likelihood is he expects you to be looking and he will work through the circumstances. Consider Matthew 25. For the sake of time, I'm going to keep moving on. You have the reference there. But remember that what happens is he gives talents to people. 10, 5, 1. Remember what happened with the one? I knew who you were. I hid it in the ground. I was nervous. And he said, you wicked servant. You should have been out. At least put it in the bank and given me interest back. You didn't even use what I gave you. But with the others, right, they were rewarded very well. See, there is a responsibility. That's all that I'm trying to teach in that first section. We have to take our responsibility seriously. And we're especially going to see it on page 2 when we get there. As lights to the world, we should be a testimony for Christ by the manner, is the word. And I'm not talking about the manner that they ate in the wilderness. I'm talking about the manner in which we take our responsibility, okay? And let's take a look at that. Everybody knows it. You could quote it. See, anybody can quote it before we even turn there. We don't have to turn if somebody's got it. 1 Corinthians 10:31. What? Whether therefore, let's do it together if you can remember it. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do how much? All to the glory of God. Whatever you're doing. You mean if I'm working in the sound room, do it to the glory of God? Absolutely. Well, it doesn't matter how I sweep this room up. Really? Do the best you can. Do it to the honor and glory of God. Who likes cleaning toilets? I remember, by the way, if you don't mind me just giving a personal illustration, it just came into my mind just now. But I remember, for those of you who didn't know, my oldest son was on death's bed. And we had flown out to Texas. We got a call in the middle of the night. It was very, very interesting process. My wife will remember very well, but I'll never remember. I got the phone call. We could hear the doctors talking to him as he was fading in the emergency room, literally. And they didn't think he was going to make it. And we had made arrangements that very moment to make flights to get to Texas, hoping he would survive to the morning. And all of this to get to the point that we got a phone call immediately after. We sat and prayed in our bed that by God's grace, please get him to a different hospital as quickly as possible. And within 2 minutes, we got a phone call, and my wife and I were expecting that he was gone. That's a true story. And what happened was we got a call from his wife, and his wife said they just made a decision, they're moving him. Right after we prayed, we're moving him to Methodist Hospital. And he got moved, and he got saved from that situation. There's a lot more to it, but the Lord spared his life. However, what I wanted to get to is this. When he had surgery, he was in the room, and we came in to visit him, and there was a guy that came in the room, and he was singing. He was singing. And he was literally wiping up blood. That's not comfortable, but he was wiping up blood. And I knew this guy had to be saved. And so I started to talk to him. And as I started to talk to him, I said, are you a believer in Christ? He said, oh, yes. I said, I want to thank you for the job you're doing because you have one of the worst jobs of cleaning up blood and going into these rooms and you're lowest paid and all these other people. And I went through the whole thing with him and he said, thank you. And he said, you know, since the Lord changed my life, he says, I love my job now. Yeah. He was wiping up blood to the glory of God. And he changed the atmosphere for the patients in the room. You see? He took very seriously whatever I'm doing. He didn't just quote it. I'm doing as unto the Lord. And if we took that attitude, we'd see we'd take our responsibility. Now let's get into it. And by the way, before I forget, I had you in James. Why did I keep you there? You notice that he says, if the Lord's will, we will do this. God doesn't tell them not to make plans. God doesn't tell them not to go into such and such a town to make gain. We should. However, we do it with the conditional clause. If God is willing for that, that's what we'll do. I'll make my plans. God expects us to make plans. Let's get into some practical situations and then into the New Testament. God has always expected man to take responsibility. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis, I know you know this well, but Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28. God blessed them. He had just created, we just memorized, did we not? Verse 27, remember that? Here's your test. 127, God created man in his own image. In his own image created he them. Male and female created he them. Right? That's just finished. Now watch. Verse 28. 28, God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and fill the nursery. Well, not quite, but you get the idea. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, over every living thing that moves on the earth. Notice, man's responsibility, give me one of them. Come on, you just read it. It's right there. Be fruitful. Fill the earth. Give me another one. Huh? Rule over the fish. What else? Subdue the earth. What does that mean? That's a great one. You know what that means? Huh? Learn about it. Discover it. That's a good word for science, by the way. We should be learning about the earth and how it works. And then we should be pointing to God. Unfortunately, they don't. Right? But those are responsibilities. Fill the earth, subdue it. Have dominion. Consider these examples. Noah. We're not going to turn there, but what was Noah supposed to do? Build an ark. Did the Lord just say to him, Noah, I got instruction for you. You're going to get up in the morning and wait till you see this thing when you walk out your door. I have this amazing cruise ship sitting out there because of rain. What is rain? Who had to build the ark? Noah. He had to get out and build the ark. Moses. What about him? Help me with that one. Lead his people out. Who did he have to stand before? Pharaoh, right? God didn't just lead the people out. God told Moses, I'm going to use you, but guess what? You go before Pharaoh. And if you remember, he said, I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do that. All these excuses. It's a wonder God didn't strike him dead, but he didn't. And he sent him. And guess what? Did everything go smoothly? Did Pharaoh right away say, oh, yeah, have a great time, take all the people? Oh, no, you know all about the plagues and everything that came. But he had to still go before them. He had to take his responsibility. How about Jesus? I mean, Joshua. I said Jesus. Anybody know anything about Joshua? What did he do? He brought the people into the land. And guess what? He had to conquer them. He had to fight the battles. That's exactly what happened. David. Come on, this is easy. Someone else. He had to fight him, and what did he have to do? Whew. Slingshot. He had to pick up the stones. God didn't just say, David, you go out there. By the way, as you're walking, I'm just going to pop the stones into your pocket. And don't worry about it. I'll just take the sling and you just stand there and look at him. No, he says, I come in the name of the Lord. You come with sword, spear, I don't care what you come with. I'm going to win this battle and take your head off today because God's the one working, but he had to fling the stone. And I'm just saying this so you see how it comes together. God expects us to take our responsibility. Now let's deal with that. Let's go to the next page. Any questions before I go further? We got a ton of stuff to hit here in the New Testament. Comments? Okay. Consider some of these New Testament examples. And I got a ton more that are not even in your notes. But let's consider some. Matthew 28:19. I picked that because, again, people probably know that passage. Anybody know it? You can turn to it if you don't. There, go, therefore, and what does he say? Make disciples. Who's supposed to do that? Pastor Dan, yes. So are you. Go, therefore, and make disciples of who? All the nations, baptizing them. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And then what does he say? Lo, I am with you even unto the end of the age. Right? You go. I'm with you. You're doing what I want you to do, but you have to go. I'm not leaving heaven to come here and do your work. That's a privilege. By the way, stop right there. Isn't that exciting? God wants to use you. He wants to use me. He wants to use the children. You don't think he uses children? Let the children come unto me. Praise the Lord, we're teaching our children, not just parents, but in the local church. They need the truth, not what's out there. We have to do the work. We have to do the work. We have responsibility. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. Let's look at that. Somebody, let me start this way. Somebody raise your hand, give me a volunteer that's going to read 2 Thessalonians 3:10. All right, Ron, you're going to read that loudly when we get there. 1 Timothy 5:12. Who's going to read that? Okay, you got it. Who's going to read Philippians 2:12? You got it. Who's going to read Ephesians 4:1? You got it. Ephesians, let's do 4:32. Who's going to do 4:32? It's not in your notes, but since we're in that ballpark. You got it. 5:1. You got it. 5:16. You got it. Now, you guys got to remember this because I'm not going to remember it. How about 1 Peter 3:10-11? It's not in your notes. 1 Peter 3:10-11. Yes, you got it. All right, ready? That was Marvin, by the way, that I saw. Okay, let's start. I hope you remember because I don't remember who had what. So 2 Thessalonians, everybody listen, so say it loudly. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. You don't go to work, you don't eat. Now, let me put it in context so we don't lose the idea. These were people that were capable of working. They just wouldn't work because they were busybodies. Rather than taking responsibility. Do you know, I'm sure you do, because I've preached it if you have been here long enough with me. Do you know that God designed work before the fall? Work is not a result of the fall. God had man in the garden before the fall so that we could glorify him in work. So you should want to work. There should be no Christian that has a mindset that I will just sit back and wait and not work. Now, if there's a reason, because of handicap, it's a whole new different story. But we should have a desire to work. That's why you train your children responsibilities in the home. Clean your room as unto the Lord. They're learning to work. They're learning to work. Next one. 1 Timothy 5. Who had it? Okay, go. Yep. Is that the one? 1 Timothy 5:12. That's probably it. I might have missed it wrong. Or I might have got type wrong. What I really wanted was fight the good fight of faith. Who's to fight it? You are. I am. Fight the good fight of faith. Sorry, that's probably my error. Philippians 2:12. Who had that one? All right, right? What does he say? Whether I'm there or not. Work out your own salvation. Now, that's not talking about earning salvation. We know that. So I won't spend a lot of time on that. It's not. But work it out. It's already in you. How? With fear and trembling, because I'm honoring the Lord, because I'm doing this as unto the Lord, because he's working in me, because I want to be pleasing to him. But you work it out. You, with the gifts you've been given. You, with the talents and abilities you've been given. You with the race you're in, not with somebody else's. We all want to hear, I'm going way ahead of my notes, but we all want to hear, well done. He's not going to say, well done, or say not well done because you were not working in the nursery. Not well done because you were not teaching. Not well done because you weren't a pastor. He's going to say, well done because you took what I gave you and worked for your honor, my honor and glory the way I wanted you to. I'm the one that fit you in the body. Do what you're supposed to do. If you're a hand, a foot, or an eye, it makes no difference. We all work together. But do what God has gifted you to do. All right, Ephesians chapter, I went into Ephesians purposely for a number of them. 4:1, who had it? Go. I urge you, walk, take the steps, worthy. Do it in a worthy manner, but take the steps. I think I had 32 in there. Who had 4:32? Your daughter. Go ahead. Well, God might forgive you, but I don't. I was in a situation, my wife was with me yesterday, in a situation where somebody brought something up that happened probably 30 years ago, 20 years ago, I don't know. And I said to my wife, that person's never let that go. Well, God forgave them, but I don't. Really? You forgive them. You are the one. I am the one. That's tough, but it's our responsibility. 5:1. You already memorized this one, but go ahead. Who had it? As beloved children. And walk in love. Just as Christ loved you and gave himself for you. Sweet-smelling savor unto God. Right? Amazing. Be imitators. Who? You. Imitate God. I am to imitate God. It's a challenge for us. Chapter 5, verse 16. That's pretty simple. Are you making the best of your time? Our time is different. We already saw that. Right in early in the study, we saw nobody knows when the finish line comes in our race. And we don't know where it will be. As you all know, it was almost for me in Sedona, and I thought it was going to be, but it wasn't. We don't know. Make the most of your time. The days are evil. We know the days are evil. Make the most of your time. Who looked up that 1 Peter passage? 1 Peter 3, 10 and 11, Marvin. Okay, what are we to do? Flee evil. Do good. Who's that's responsibility? It's ours. God's working in us, yes. I need to depend upon him. Even in those verses, I can't forgive somebody if God's not working in me. It takes God to do that. I can't love my neighbor. I can't pray for those who persecute me. I can't do that on my own, but I'm responsible to do it. God works in me, and that's how I'm able to do it. And I can turn around and say, God, forgive me for that attitude. Help me to forgive them right now. Let me pray for that person who is abusing. I mean, it's very practical. I shared when I remember from the pulpit before, I had a neighbor literally that used to throw their garbage over the fence into our yard. I had a choice, go beat the guy up, which I wanted to do. Okay, or I could confront him, and I'm not afraid to do that. But Linda and I prayed. We said, Lord, take care of this situation. Help us to help him to see. And I just kept maintaining my yard. You know what? It stopped. God answered prayer. Okay. But in that case, I needed to pray. I had another neighbor where I went and I talked to them about a situation, and they corrected it. Because I went and talked to him, because that's what the scripture says to do. Go to your neighbor who's next to you. And God worked in a situation. Unsaved, but he worked in it. You see, God is working, but he expects us to take action. Now I have a ton of other verses. We're to walk in obedience. How about someone take 2 Corinthians chapter 5? I'll open up for questions in a minute. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I hope I got these right, 6 and 7. 2 Corinthians 5, 6 and 7. Somebody who hasn't volunteered yet. All you can do is read. Come on. I can't do that for you. God's not going to put your hand up. Okay, Hibba. All right, 2 Corinthians 5, 6 and 7. How about Philippians 3, 17? Who's going to do that one? Philippians 3, 7, Scott. How about Colossians 1, 10? Colossians 1, 10. Deb. All right, we'll stop with those. I got a ton more, but let's go. Read those. 2 Corinthians 5, 6 and 7. Everybody listen. We walk by what? We walk by faith. We don't sit and do nothing by faith. Whether absent or present with the Lord, we'd rather be, and that's what he says, with the Lord. However, we need to be obedient, and we need to put one foot in front of the other and walk. Just like when I went through therapy, and there was a stage I couldn't even do that. I couldn't even walk around the block. I couldn't even do anything. My wife knows it's true. But it finally reached a stage I had to just start walking, even if it hurt, one step at a time. And it might hurt in your Christian walk, but walk. Next one. Go ahead. What was the next one? Philippians 3:17, was it? Who had that? Scott. Yeah, go ahead. Right. And by the way, that's encouraging because they were to walk, right, Scott? They were to walk, but they were to look at others. Look at examples. Remember, we don't try to be that person when we talked about that race. That's the area that Camille covered for me. We don't try to be, but we do have examples that we look to. And God help me. There's an example. They got through that trial. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego has encouraged me, and I've never met them many times. Daniel, I love the name. But Daniel has encouraged me many times, and I've never met him yet. Okay? And on we could go. I've been encouraged. Do you know that Paul has been a big encouragement to me? You know why? Because Paul said, we ought to read the scriptures, some of which Peter writes is hard to understand. You know how many times that's encouraged me when I looked at a passage and said, I don't know what this says. Well, wait a minute. Paul didn't understand everything either. That encouraged me to go on. So we have examples, but we had to learn and then imitate. All right, Deb. I think it was Deb, right? Yeah. I love that passage. Increasing in the knowledge of God, what do? Bear fruit. We walk. That's our responsibility. Let me give you some others quickly that are not in your notes. Then I'll open it up before we hit the last section. How about pray without? What does that mean? Does that mean you just close your eyes and pray when you're driving in a car? No. Literally, it means be instant in prayer. Be ready to pray all the time. All the time. When you're in a car? Yep. When you're in church? Yeah. Pastor Dan's putting me to sleep in class right now. Lord, help me to wake up. That's good. That's a good prayer. That's a good prayer. But if you fall asleep, you're probably not praying that. Okay, but you know what I'm saying. The idea is we have these responsibilities, bearing fruit. And you notice in that passage that Deb read, there was another word in there. It's called, begins with a W. What was it, Deb? Work. Unto good works. We don't get saved by good works, but that's to be a product of our life as a Christian. And praying's hard. We're to take the Lord's Supper. Here's a couple of quick examples. We're to take the Lord's Supper. You know, if you're not attending church, you're not going to be around for the Lord's Supper. Now, I'm not talking about missing it occasionally, but you're to be in the local assembly. In fact, that's what Hebrews 10 says. You can mark it down, 25. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as is the manner of some. I'd rather be away from believers. I'm an individualist. That's dangerous because Proverbs says that's a fool. A fool is one who isolates himself. And that's plural. I am to be involved in the local church. Why do I go to the local assembly? To be fed, to have fellowship. I don't feel like getting up sometimes. Where to go? Why? We need it, and God expects it of us. God expects us to serve. This should never be, honestly, personal opinion. Personal opinion. There should not be any solid local church that has trouble getting workers in the nursery, teaching, ushering, or whatever, because members of the body of Christ are sitting in a local assembly doing nothing. But there is, every church, even this church, many times. We have needs for this, and we are so busy, we have no time for the Lord. I'm going to stop right there. I'm not done. I'm going to get three in quickly. I'm going to give you three in rapid fire. But I want to make sure, is there any questions or comments? Do we understand? All I'm trying to emphasize today is God last week, he's sovereign and he's in us working, but we got to get out there and witness. We got to pray. We've got to serve. We've got to look for a job. We've got to pray for a spouse. I'm still praying for my daughter's spouse. Okay, but we got to do that. We got to do it. Comments, questions? Yes.
One thing I go by, it's not in the scriptures, but when Wellington.
Not in the scriptures, I don't want to hear about. No, only kidding.
When the Wellington was fighting Napoleon, he said, trust the Lord in all you can.
That's right. That's a good quote. Yeah. Trust the Lord, don't put any cannonballs in, it'll be fine. Nope, load the cannon, light it, right? That's a great illustration. Good. Anyone else? Yep. That's possible because why? You may be gifted of the Lord not to be married and to be single. That's a gift, by the way. And so for those that are single, and Scott, not to put Scott in the spot, but he'll remember, Beulah Dennison, you know, all the years that we served with her, and I remember vividly just before she died and everything, that woman was so faithful, she was gifted to be single. That's a gift. And God used her in a great way because she was interested on early on, maybe I'd be married, but then when we discovered that's a gift, she concentrated on that and was used mightily of the Lord. By the way, Will Simpson's another one. I just ran into him a couple of weeks ago. I didn't kill him. I was talking with him. But Wilson, but there's others, you know, that we are missionaries that we support. Christine Sears has been in Germany. I've seen the work. Has been in Germany serving the Lord as a single person because she came to the realization, God's gifted me in this way. And then she just all in. Okay. Let me finish with the last notes then, and I'll get you out of here and free it up for Rocco. All right, let's look at it. In the last part of these notes is, God is the one who we will answer to. Obviously, we need to consider that 2 Corinthians 5:10 is we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and that is a believer passage. That's not the great white throne. We will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Romans chapter 14, verse 12, believers, and here's the answer, will give an account. I will give an account. So will you. What did you do with the gifts that I gave you? What did you do with the commands that I gave you in the New Testament? Most people know 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 15, and that is wood, hay, stubble, gold, silver, precious stone. That'll bring it back to your mind. You can look at the passage. What are the works going to produce? Wood, hay, stubble, burnt up? A gold, silver, and precious stone for the honor and glory of the Lord. We'll give an account. Let me give you the last three bullet points, make a couple of comments, and then open it up again. The issue is the quality of our labor, not the quantity. I know in the world that we live in, among evangelicals, and I use that term loosely, the concern is about how many souls you've won. Let me tell you something. You know how many souls you've won? Zero. God's the one that wins the souls. John the Baptist wasn't worried about anything other than one thing. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He's the one. His disciples started following Jesus, and you know what he did? Just what pastors would do today. Oh, no, you can't go to follow him. You keep following me. John says, he must increase, I must decrease. He's the Lamb of God. Go ahead. He's the one. You see? He's the one. We just need to be the vessel that God can use. And he's concerned about the quality of your life, that it's holy, that it's in obedience to him. Don't worry about the fruit. It will come. Even Jeremiah, you know that. He got discouraged. He wanted to quit. It came to the point that Jeremiah said, I will not speak another word of God anymore. And then it burned within him and he couldn't do it. Because he wasn't seeing any fruit. Every time I speak, I end up in the mud. People want to take my head off. David felt that way too, and he strengthened himself in the Lord and kept going. Take today's class. Take your responsibility seriously while you rely on God's strength to finish the race strong. That's a fill in the blanks. Take your responsibility serious while you're relying on God's strength to be able to do it. It's just like we started today, right? If the Lord's will, we will do this and we will do that. But then you go. Take your responsibility until the race is finished. Next week, we'll talk about our thinking and how we must be changed, and it must be formed by the Word of God. I'll close with this one verse, and then I need to free it up for the music, but I'll take any questions. In James 1:22 is what I'll close with. Does anybody know what it says? And be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, then what does it say? Deceiving your own selves. Well, I know what the Word of God says. Great. Go do it. I know that God says this. Go do it. But I can't, right, Moses? But I've never seen rain. Right, Noah? You go. You get the pitch. You get the wood. I'll take care of the rain, and I'll bring you through. You go do your work. That's what God expects of us. It works together. That's how I finish the race. In his strength, but taking my own responsibility. Last opportunity for comments, questions. For those of you who came in late, let me just give you this quickly. One of the administrative things that I said this morning, and we took a kind of a vote, the class is supposed to go to July 2nd, which is the 4th of July weekend. We're not going to do that. What we agreed to do is on Saturday the 24th, is 9 o'clock a good time or 10? Who would say 9 o'clock? 10 o'clock. 9 o'clock wins. All right, you got to get up a little early, sorry. 9 o'clock on Saturday morning, we will have the second to last class, and we will finish June 25th. We will not have the 4th of July weekend. We'll be done. That way I will be here. We'll finish the notes. Thank you for your patience. Time to go get some food in the other room. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you and praise you for the Word of God. We thank you and praise you so much that it is you that is working in us both to will and to do of your good pleasure. We also thank you and praise you that you have told us to go, to walk by faith, to make disciples, to use our spiritual gifts, to make the most of our time, to pray without ceasing, to forgive one another, to submit ourselves to one another. Help us to take our responsibility serious. And Father, might we bear much fruit for the glory of God as you continue to work in our lives and we take the action that you expect us to take. Prepare our hearts for the morning service. Bless the refreshments in our fellowship. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.